All right, so I just want to begin by asking a question. With a show of hands, how many people here have consumed wine before? Awesome. And have you ever considered what else you might be consuming in your wine? Back in March, there was a class action lawsuit against 28 big wine manufacturers, which represent 83 really well-known frugal wine labels, most well-known as Charles Shaw, about the arsenic content in their wine. They said it was dangerously high because it was above what the US EPA allows for drinking water. In America, we don't have legislation on how much arsenic is allowed in wine, but, you know, we don't drink wine like water, hopefully. So arsenic in the soil, it's a naturally occurring element. It's a trace metal. Often it occurs as arsenate and arsenite. Arsenite is more common under low pH systems and anaerobic systems, whereas arsenate is more common in aerobic systems, and it's associated with oxides and hydroxides. It's not a plant essential nutrient, but it can be taken up by plants because it's a similar size and oxidation number to phosphate. And it was a common ingredient in pesticides until 1980. And so it's still present in a lot of soils for this reason. It was outlawed as an ingredient in pesticides because it's a carcinogen. It causes skin lesions, which is a picture right there. And it's toxic in high levels. Selenium is also a naturally occurring element in the soil, and it also occurs mainly in two forms, selenate and selenite. Selenate is the more toxic and mobile form of selenium, and people can actually experience both deficiencies and toxicities of selenium. So my objectives for this experiment were to discover the levels of arsenic and selenium in the soil and relate that to the wine that comes from this soil. We also compared it to what the EPA allows in drinking water. That's the maximum contaminant limits and the soil screening limits. Soil screening limit, if the soil has a concentration of arsenic higher than this limit, the US EPA recommends that you remediate the soil. So the site description, due to the nature of this experiment and the implications, I can't say exactly where the samples are from, but it's from California. And so we did four vineyard blocks with two varietals, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And I'll zoom in to show you my sampling protocol. From each block, we took samples from 10 different locations, both surface and subsurface, so the top 30 centimeters and then the next 30 centimeters down. We also took samples from well water to see if that was a significant influence on the arsenic and selenium levels in the soil and wine. To analyze the soil, we did composite samples of all of the 80 samples that we had, so it ended up being 8. And we analyzed those in triplicate. We also did 10 method blanks, and we used two standard reference materials. We used US EPA method 3050B, which is a total method for arsenic and selenium. It includes nitric acid digestion, hydrogen peroxide workup. Everything was filtered through 0.45 micron filter. And due to the challenging nature of the matrix, we had to use the method of standard addition, which I'll explain more in the next slide. And we analyzed everything using inductively coupled plasma. So for wine analysis, we also did the method of standard addition. Basically, the matrix was so complex, we couldn't analyze the sample straight out. So what we did is we split each sample into 6 subsamples. And so one of them, we didn't add anything. And the rest of the 5, we added increasing levels. Known levels of arsenic and selenium so that we can make a calibration curve, which is shown right there, and you can back calculate the actual concentration of the arsenic and selenium in the samples. The results. So arsenic in the soil. So what we found was that the arsenic in the soil was above the method detection limit, which means that there was enough in the samples for the machine to accurately read what the concentration is. However, it was also above the EPA SSL, meaning that they would recommend that we remediate this soil, but it was far below average arsenic in soil. This average level here is an estimate, and there's many estimates out there. This is a very conservative one, so that shows how strict the SSL is here. And on the left, we have surface, and on the right is subsurface. There's not a significant difference in between the surface and subsurface as far as arsenic concentration goes. The selenium data was highly variable, and it didn't really show us conclusive results. We actually had to throw all of the data from one vineyard block out because it was below the method detection limit. Results. So for the arsenic in the wine, all the varietals were below the LOD. LOD is the limit of detection, which you find using the blink. So basically this means that the concentration of arsenic in the wine was not high enough for the machine to accurately give us a reading. The EPA maximum contaminant limit in water for arsenic is 10 parts per billion. If you compare this to legislations from European countries and Canada, which are 200 parts per billion and 100 parts per billion of arsenic in wine, it's really, really low compared to those numbers. So it's clear that the drinking water limit is not accurate to use for wine. All right. So this shows the selenium in wine. This is, some of them were above the maximum contaminant limit. However, as I stated, this is not a good indication of safely drinking wine. And so the selenium in wine, we also have some above the maximum contaminant limit, but as I stated, it's not really accurate for wine. And the well water was not found to be a significant addition to selenium in the wine or soil. It was very low. So conclusions, for arsenic, it was above the soil screening level, but as I stated, this was a really, really strict limit and is probably not feasible to remediate every soil that's above this limit. Selenium was far below the soil screening limit, which is very high. The EPA allows 390 parts per million, but the soil selenium data was highly variable. Arsenic in wine, it was all below the limit of detection. If we had more time, we would have tried to redo some of the blanks, make a better limit of detection, so we could have found some data, but we ran out of time. And for selenium in wine, it was above the limit of detection, but it was fairly low. So conclusions, there absolutely is a connection between soil and wine, the arsenic levels between soil and wine. However, is it risky to drink wine? Not in the sense of arsenic and selenium poisoning, but maybe if those grapes were grown in a location where there was previous mining activities, or if they used pesticides containing arsenic previous to 1980, there could be some residual arsenic in the soil, which could lead to dangerous amounts of arsenic in the wine. And thanks to Dr. Chip Appel, Cal Poly NRES department, the soil and the local vineyard owners for letting us use their samples in their wine. Questions? It was my understanding that it was not allowed to have arsenic in pesticides anymore, but absolutely it's not just related to wine. Anything that's grown in a soil that has uses those pesticides, it could have high levels of arsenic. Yes?
I'd like to follow up on that. I don't know the answer to the question, but is it possible that what you're speaking of for 1980 is with regard to food crops? For instance, lead arsenic was used in apple orchards for a long, long time. That's been banned. But I don't know if that was the date or not. Maybe someone else knows.
Definitely possible.
Most of those vineyards in the Central Coast were not farmed.
Right.
They're former rangelands.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in grid since the 1980s.
That is correct.
But they were in walnuts.
No, they were not. They're rangelands. Grasses and oaks.
Okay, I think that misunderstood what you said.
Yeah.
I might have answered the question.
Okay.
I was trying to determine if you could distinguish between whether it was land use practice, such as pesticides, that had contributed any of those toxins, or whether it was just background levels in the soil.
Right. I believe it's just background levels in the soil, because this particular area, the history did not show orchards there, but I'm not totally positive on that. Any other questions? Oh, yes.
How come you didn't look at cadmium?
We had a very limited time, and as it was, we couldn't do everything that we wanted to do.
Probably
I would love to look at cadmium.
Yeah.
And chromium is very high in this area, so that could also be another thing to look at in further research. Anything else? Thank you, guys.